Good evening, everyone, and welcome to First Church of Christ Scientist, Madison, Wisconsin, for our Wednesday evening testimony meeting. A warm welcome to everyone online as well. Let's start our meeting tonight by joining together and singing hymn 459. This hymn can be found in the gray hymnal in the pews. I'll read the second verse to start us off. The light of truth to us display, that we may know and choose your way. Plant holy joy in every heart, that we from you may ne'er depart. Plant joy in every heart. Hymn 459.
Gracious Spirit, heavenly love, with light and comfort from above, be truth our guardian, love our guide, for every thought and step preside, be God our guide. The light of truth to us display, that we may know and choose your way. Plant holy joy in every heart, that we may, you may ne'er depart. Plant joy in every heart. Lead us, O Christ, the living way, nor let us your precepts stray. Lead us to God, our heavenly rest, that we may be forever blessed, forever blessed.
Thank you, Steve and Jonathan, for leading us in song tonight. And now the scriptural selection starts from Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Isaiah, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. From Amos, they shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord, your God. And then from the book of Matthew, the parable of the sower. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, and where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whosoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they've closed shut, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see and to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And I'm going to go ahead and read that parable from one more translation from the Message, the same parable. It's titled A Harvest Story. At about that same time, Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. In no time at all, a crowd gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation telling stories. What do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road and birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly, but it didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds as it came up, and it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Are you listening? Are you really listening? The disciples came and asked, "Why do you tell stories?" He replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity just soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your eyes are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they don't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they don't have to look. So they don't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. But you have God-blessed eyes that see, and God-blessed ears, ears that hear. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you are seeing, to hear what you are hearing, but never had the chance. Study this story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. This is the seed the farmer scatters on the road. The seed cast in the gravel, this is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm, but there's no soil of character. And so when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arises, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangles what was heard and nothing comes of it. The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. And now I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle. which before sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now, as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us, a divine influence ever present in human consciousness and repeating itself, coming now, as was promised aforetime, to preach deliverance to the captives of sense and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. When God called the author to proclaim his gospel to this age, there came also the charge to plant and water his vineyard. Who is ready to follow his teaching and example? All must, sooner or later, plant themselves in Christ, the true idea of God. Late in the 19th century, I demonstrated the divine rules of Christian Science. They were submitted to the broadest practical test and everywhere, when honestly applied under circumstances where demonstration was humanly possible, this science showed that truth had lost none of its divine and healing efficacy, even though centuries had passed away since Jesus practiced these rules on the hills of Judea and in the valleys of Galilee. Although this volume contains the complete science of mind healing, of the science by a simple, Although this volume contains the complete science of mind healing, never believe that you can absorb the whole meaning of the science by a simple perusal of this book. The book needs to be studied, and the demonstration of the rules of scientific healing will plant you firmly on the spiritual groundwork of Christian Science. We must destroy the false belief that life and intelligence are in matter and plant ourselves upon what is pure and perfect. Paul said, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Sooner or later, we shall learn that the fetters of man's finite capacity are forged by the illusion that he lives in body instead of in soul, in matter instead of in spirit. As the crude footprints of the past disappear from the dissolving paths of the present, we shall better understand the science which governs these changes and shall plant our feet on firmer ground. Every sensuous pleasure or pain is self-destroyed through suffering. There should be painless progress, attended by life and peace instead of discord and death. The testimony of the material senses is neither absolute nor divine. I therefore plant myself unreservedly on the teachings of Jesus, of his apostles, of the prophets, and on the testimony of the science of mind. Other foundations there are none. All other systems, systems based wholly or partly on knowledge gained through the material senses, are reeds shaken by the wind, not houses built on the rock. When we lose faith in God's power to heal, we distrust the divine principle which demonstrates Christian Science, and then we cannot heal the sick. Neither can we heal through the help of spirit if we plant ourselves on a material basis. Nerves have no more sensation apart from what belief bestows upon them than the fibers of a plant. Mind alone possesses all faculties, perception, and comprehension. Therefore, mental endowments are not at the mercy of organization and decomposition. If it were possible for the real senses of man to be injured, soul could reproduce them in all their perfection, but they cannot be disturbed nor destroyed since they exist in immortal mind, not in matter. And in her chapter on Genesis, she first quotes Genesis 1:14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." This text gives the idea of the rarefaction of thought as it ascends higher. God forms and peoples the universe. The light of spiritual understanding gives gleams of the infinite only, even as nebulae indicate the immensity of space. So-called mineral, vegetable, and animal substances are no more contingent now on time or material structure than they were when the morning stars sang together. Mind made the plant of the field before it was in the earth. The periods of spiritual ascension are the days and seasons of mind's creation, in which beauty, sublimity, purity, and holiness, yea, the divine nature, appear in man, and the universe never to disappear. Knowing the science of creation, in which all is mind and its ideas, Jesus rebuked the material thought of his fellow countrymen. "Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" How much more should we seek to apprehend the spiritual ideas of God than to dwell on the objects of sense, to discern the rhythm of spirit, and to be holy, thought must be purely spiritual. And another reference to Genesis 2:4-5. "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God Jehovah made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God Jehovah had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground." Here is the emphatic declaration that God creates all through mind, not through matter. That the plant grows, not because of seed or soil, but because growth is the eternal mandate of mind. Mortal thought drops into the ground, but the immortal creating thought is from above, not from beneath. Because mind makes all, there is nothing left to be made by a lower power. Spirit acts through the science of mind, never causing man to till the ground, but making him superior to the soil. Knowledge of this lifts man above the sod, above earth and its environments, to conscious, spiritual harmony and eternal being. We'll now have silent prayer followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And let's go ahead and sing our second hymn, which is number 314. This hymn can be found in the brown hymnal in the pews. Sow in the morn thy seed. At eve hold not thy hand. To doubt and fear give thou no heed. Broadcast it o'er the land. Hymn 314. A few announcements before we continue with testimonies. Again, welcome and thank you for being here at First Church of Christ Scientist, Madison, Wisconsin. Please know that in addition to our testimony meeting on Wednesday evenings, we are here every Sunday at 10 o'clock, and we certainly hope you'll consider joining us. You can come to the church or you can attend by Zoom as well. At that same time, we offer Sunday school for children and teenagers, and that also is available in the church or on Zoom. So if you are aware of your children or any children that would benefit from a spiritual foundation to life, they're warmly welcome to attend. Our church, in addition, offers a reading room to not only members, but to everybody in the community. And so the specific hours are posted on the door as well as our website, but please know we are here daily. And our Christian Science Reading Room, again, is open to anyone that wants to learn about Christian Science. So you can ask questions, you can read, study, listen, and participate in our monthly Bible study group. The next Bible study group is coming up on Friday, May 8th. And of course, you can also get access to the Bible and Christian Science publications and enjoy a peaceful atmosphere for your spiritual discovery. So please know we're here to support you, and please feel free to reach out with any questions or comments, or even if you want to discuss the Wednesday testimony meeting or the Bible lessons, it's a good place to start by coming in or giving us a call. And so with that, I will turn it over to you. If you are here in the church and would like to share your testimonies, experiences, and remarks on Christian Science, just raise your hand and our usher, Joy, will bring you the microphone. If you're part of our online community, please know your testimonies, experiences, and remarks on Christian Science are also very warmly welcomed. The process for that is you will unmute yourself on the computer, and then Eli is there to shepherd our online community, and he will let you know when to speak. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, I left Madison and it was still like winter, and I went someplace where summer was half over already, and I came back, and now here's spring. So your readings tonight are just a wonderful welcome home, and very appropriate for the season. The parable that you read about the sower and the seed and where it falls, one of the things that I think about in the spring is getting out and adding some fertilizer. Even if your lawn looks pretty good already, usually it appreciates a little more fertilizer. And the parable doesn't talk about fertilizer, really. It talks about the good ground. And I find that really helpful to just think about how that good ground is our thought, that we're already, it's already baked into us. It's the way God made us. And we have that good ground. And yet I do find some fertilizer occasionally helpful to really nurture that good ground and help me rise above any weedy thoughts or, some maybe just fallow ground that's ready to be planted and be more productive. And some of the things that I find as good fertilizer for thought are testimonies and articles written by other Christian Scientists that we can read in the periodicals. Or sometimes you'll catch a podcast where someone is interviewed about their experience and how they experienced healing and the thought that went into that. The Bible lesson is a great place to find those nurturing thoughts for growth and help us move from the seed to the full bloom and the fruit. Being in church and singing our hymns and listening to the music, those are all things that I find really helpful and just appreciate thinking about those tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple quick things. On the radio a couple days ago, there was an afternoon show, and the person being interviewed was a book reviewer. And so they said, "How did you get started?" And he says, "Well, I wrote a book review. And I was paid $150 by the Christian Science Monitor for his first work." So that was really cool to hear that being stated instead. And how the Monitor, way back when, this is a while ago, we utilize this young author's book review. Also, thank you very much for the readings. The statement about growth, eternal mandate of mind, just things we need to grow, we need to continue to respond to change. Growth is natural, eternal. Mind is helping us along. So I just thought that was a cool statement that I can work into the soil with. And then just before church, I was planting seeds in the garden. So I was ripe with a theme this evening. I still have dirt in my fingernails. But I just wanted to mention the blessings of working in the garden, which I've done for decades and decades. You share seedlings, you get too many of one, or someone grows them, and you're just constantly sharing with neighbors and friends, and that's kind of cool. I have extra seed this year. No one thinks about, well, did I get a good deal? You just kind of share, and you support everybody's planting endeavors. And then the harvest, sharing your bounty with your family, your friends and neighbors. Sometimes if there's enough, you send it to the food pantry. And there's such joy in sharing and having nice vegetables to bestow on others. And then just today, the importance of getting rid of the weeds and stones and last year's dendritis, because none of that is supportive of good growth. And so we need to cleanse our thought of those things throw them away. They're an impediment to the bounty that and harvest that we expect to happen. Thanks again for your readings.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Janice.
Thank you. Thank you very much for those readings tonight. Obviously, we all are very aware of the spring weather this year in southern Wisconsin and southeastern and mid-Wisconsin, as well as the Midwest. And so I'm certain all of us have been praying about the threat of not just storms, but hail and tornado. And so it seemed to be a repetition for several days that we would have these so-called threats in our environment. And so I know I was awakened very, very, very early, I'd say middle of the night, and I didn't know why, but it occurred to me that I needed to pray about the weather. And so I did. And I was able to go back to sleep, and the weather seemed to be not threatening, but was just sort of trailing off. There were other times when it was very threatening. And so I was very, very, very carefully listening to what I needed to know from God about how to pray. And so I loved this last hymn about sow in the morn thy seed, and then at eve, hold not thy hand. So whether it's morning, night, middle of the day, whenever it is, we need to be alert and working. One thing that I was led to was this idea, in Science and Health, by Mrs. Eddy. Let's see if I can find this. Mind science teaches that mortals need not be weary in well-doing. It dissipates fatigue in doing good. Giving does not impoverish us in the service of our Maker, neither does withholding enrich us. We have strength in proportion to our apprehension of the truth, and our strength is not lessened by giving utterance to truth. And so I thought about that. Obviously, it's not a human sense of strength that we're talking to God about and asking for his care and providing safety for all. It's the principle of strength, which is God itself. And so we know that we can depend on that strength for our care, as well as our neighbors, the whole region, as a matter of fact. So I was praying not only for my community of Elkhorn, but throughout Wisconsin, throughout the whole Midwest, which seemed to have all these threats of tornado. That idea of where does, you know, this threat come from? Well, it doesn't come from God, that we know. So we can eliminate it from our thinking as being a lie. And so I was working with that in mind and realizing that as a lie, it doesn't have any power. God is the only power, and this is who we depend upon. This is how we pray. We dispense with whatever is not true and just cling to that which is true. And during these threats of tornado and, you know, the reports on the weather, they seem to be very dire and very frightening. You know, take shelter immediately. So I thought, all right, I know how to take shelter. I can take shelter in God's dominion over any lie of inharmony in our Earth's atmosphere, and know that harmony is a law of God, and that He dispenses that law readily, amply, just perfectly, and we can depend on it. And so as a result, I could just see these threats of tornado just being totally quelled and quieted. That we did have, I found out later that there was one small tornado that touched down on the edge of my community. I did not hear, I only heard one report of that. They didn't show any photos of it at all. So it was a very minor thing. But I'm just so grateful that we do have these laws of God to depend upon for our protection, our safety. And we know we can do it. And it's not us that we're doing it. It's God that's doing it. But we have to appeal to that one mind, that one principle that does govern. Thank you.
Go ahead, Louise.
Thank you. I just want to mention that vocabulary that Mary Baker Eddy uses is so extensive, and I feel that I probably am, well, not probably, am learning from that vocabulary, and I enjoy it so much. There's so much in depth with the words of that Mississippi Mary Baker Eddy. And that's it. Just I wanted to really mention the vocabulary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. I really appreciated that lesson too. It was very interesting on planting and plant, be planted. And it brought to mind a couple of things that I'm going to try to relate to each other if I can. I'm sitting here thinking of a potpourri of thoughts that have come to me. One of them is that statement that we all know, bloom where you are planted. And I thought, well, that has to do with planting and the repetition every year of our perennials that come back when the time is right and they bloom right where they've been forever. And one thing that always warmed our hearts was that my mother-in-law's favorite flower was a peony. And we planted a beautiful bright pink peony plant in our garden one year in honor of her. And every year on the exact same day, which happened to be her birthday on June 2nd, that peony would bloom. And we just were in awe of that. And that was a sweet moment. It also brought to mind the idea of everyone in his right place, everyone and everything in its right place. And I was reminded of a story that my husband told me when he lived for 12 years in Alberta, Canada. And he was east of the Rockies in the plains, and so there was a lot of agriculture there and farming. And it was a beautiful patchwork quilt of just all kinds of different crops and just a lovely area, even though it was largely flat, and but it had that big open sky, which was just glorious. And a church, he related a story from a church member there in Edmonton, Alberta, about he was a farmer. And had, of course, worked very hard on getting his fields ready for harvest. And they seemed like the Canada geese were taking over his fields and feasting on the seeds. And in huge flocks. And so he decided that was not the right thing, that was not right. And so he went out to the fields and had a good talk with those geese. And just used the principle of divine love and just spoke to them that they had their place to be, they had their right place, that everything that they needed came from divine love, that it couldn't take something from someone else that they needed, and couldn't prevent the divine laws of harvest and I'm sort of paraphrasing now because I didn't really hear the exact story, but that was the gist of it. And the geese left and never returned. And he had a good harvest that year. And in thinking about bloom where you're planted and being obedient to where God directs you to be, that the lesson this week on Jonah, who decided to be disobedient and go to Tarshish because he didn't want to have to preach the gospel to the people in Nineveh, and he had no end of trouble and caused other people no end of trouble. And once he humbled himself and became able to realize what had happened, he was obedient and then did the right thing and then was blessed, of course, from that. So it's a wonderful lesson. And there's more that's packed into that. And there's a good article on the desk in the reading room. And I can't tell you the title right now, except that Nineveh is in it, and I read it today, and it's just full of good ideas. And it has the word Nineveh in the title. It's from the 1967 January Journal, so you might want to take a quick look at that. It really augmented the lesson, I thought, this week. So I also appreciated the reading from the Message, too. As the other speaker mentioned, Mrs. Eddy's vocabulary is so wonderful and so eloquent and so absolutely meaningful and to the point. But every now and then I love to be able to read a different version of the Bible and get a different take with the use of different words. And I thought that reading of the story from the Message was really excellent tonight and was very, very nice to hear, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Last call if there's anyone that would like to speak. I'll leave this open for a minute. I thought I'd take myself up on the last call with just a quick shout out of gratitude to my family, my extended family, for being a family that had a value of planting. And my uncle was a farmer, so he did have the professional discipline of planting, but he also had a broader mindset of that. He actually would plant certain crops for the deer so that they would have some food that was specifically for them. And then he had many interests in planting. He planted himself in Christian Science. He was an active church member and a reader. And he also planted a garden and had a habit of planting pear trees. And I think back on that because this is my uncle. I was close to him, but I wasn't that close to him. But I was very mindful of how he operated his life and his demonstration of how he conducted his life and his fields and his garden and embraced the wildlife and conservation efforts. It made such an impact on me. And so I've really tried to continue in his discipline that he exemplified as far as the conservation efforts of the farm that I actually inherited and the pear orchard, which I inherited. And I'm just so blessed by just such a wonderful harvest of pears every year and so grateful for that effort. And I'll also give a shout out to my mother, who was not a farmer, but just consistently planting for beauty in every aspect of her life, whether it was a little napkin or a little tablecloth or a little teacup or a little teapot. Everything, she planted beauty in every detail of life. That included flowers. She had a discipline of every year planting a tree. somewhere. It could be in her yard, it could be at the farm, it could be in another's yard. But every year she planted a farm, planted a tree, and right before she passed, she planted an extra tree. She planted two trees that are in bloom, and it's just such a wonderful demonstration of how to plant oneself in life and continue that as a discipline. I'm so blessed by that. So thank you. And now we'll sing our last hymn. And that hymn is 513. It is in the gray hymnal. This hymn, the words were written by Mary Baker Eddy. It's titled Satisfied, and I will read all of the verses. It matters not what be thy lot, so love doth guide. For storm or shine, pure peace is thine, whate'er betide. And of these stones or tyrants' thrones, God able is to raise up seed in thought and deed to faithful his. I, darkling sense, arise, go hence, our God is good. False fears are foes, truth tatters those when understood. Love looseth thee and lifteth me, a yont hates thrall. There life is light and wisdom might, and God is all. The centuries break, the earth-bound wake, God's glorified. Who doth his will, his likeness still, is satisfied. Who doth his will, his likeness still, is satisfied. Hymn 513.
It matters not what be thy lot, so love doth guide. For storm or shine, pure peace is thine, whate'er betide. And of these stones a tyrant's thrones, God able. Up seed in thought and deed to faithful is. I, darkling sense, arise, go hence, our God is good. False fears are foes, truth tatters those when understood. Love loseth thee and lifteth me, a yont hates thrall. Their life is light and wisdom might, and God is all. The centuries break, the earth-bound wake, God's glory. Doth his will, his likeness still is satisfied. Who doth his will, his likeness still is satisfied.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.